Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
History has a habit of judging political leaders by how they behave during times of crisis. You'll remember Winston Churchill's political record was pretty spotty until he claimed a place in history for his iron spine and fierce handling of the war effort during World War II.
The Battle of Britain is about to begin. Upon this battle depends the survival of Christian civilization.
And President George W. Bush's approval rating was barely above half until 9/11 and the surge of support for his handling of that tragedy.
Whether we bring our enemies to justice or bring justice to our enemies, justice will be done.
Now, admittedly, it is probably unfair to compare the World War II and 9/11 with the financial crisis we're going to. There's all kinds of differences. But we did think this was a particular moment to talk about President Obama's leadership during a difficult time in the United States history. And we brought someone in to give us an insight into that. Barbara Leeming, author of Churchill Defiant, Fighting On, 1945 to 1955, which is coming out in paperback next month. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning, Celeste.
So first of all, let's talk about this particular crisis and what you feel would be good leadership on it.
You know, the thing that's been fascinating to me this week watching Obama go on the bus tour is that he's pulled out the Kennedy rhetoric again. The phrase that he's used again and again and again this week is put country before party, and that's pure JFK. From the 1960 presidential campaign, he used that phrase over and over and over again, and it's Profiles in Courage, he used it. And that's something that Kennedy got from Winston Churchill and from Edmund Burke, but he made it his own. And as soon as the Kennedy comparison comes up for someone like me, I mean, I'm a biographer and a historian, and I start thinking about the two of them in comparison to each other, and of course everybody has. I mean, everybody from Caroline Kennedy to Ted Sorensen says, you know, Obama and JFK, they're both young, they're attractive, and they're both cool. But what I keep thinking about is, well, presidents are also human beings. They're also people. And character is formed long before you go in to the White House. And when I was watching Obama this week, the thing that I kept thinking about is how different the characters of JFK and Obama are. Not how similar they look and not the way that they talk, but how different, absolutely different their characters and personality are. And what I mean by that is that if you go back and you look at Jack Kennedy as a child, literally as a child, one of the things, and I wrote a biography of Kennedy, so I know his childhood awfully well, he was a fighter from the time he was a little boy. I mean, he was the sickly, skinny little boy who would pick a fight, but more important than that, he was, within his family, defined for much of his childhood and his young manhood by this enormous fight that he waged against his elder brother for the top position in the family, and he won it. I mean, Jack Kennedy, even as a little boy, could be ruthless. I mean, he's not just a fighter, but he's a tough fighter, and he won that battle. And then he went on to take the father who he adored and side with the father's major enemy, Winston Churchill, when he took on Churchill as the idea man that fueled all of Jack's thinking and so what you have in Jack Kennedy is somebody who's a natural fighter. When you look at Obama, and we know exactly what Obama was like as a child from his own account in Dreams from My Father, you know, which is an astonishingly frank autobiography for somebody.
But
who's
you're
into
saying
the
that
White
what
House.
We don't learn from that book is that he's as you say, ruthless and willing to pick a fight. We're speaking with Barbara Leeming, author of Churchill Defiant, about leadership. And again, I want to put out this call to our listeners that we want to give you a chance to grade Obama's leadership on the financial crisis. But Barbara, you know, to a certain extent, you can still be a great leader and not be ruthless. I mean, that's not necessarily required for the job, right?
Yeah, I don't think you necessarily, there has to be some element of it. For a politician, there does. But you certainly have to be a fighter. And Obama defined himself by refusing to confront. But what's fascinating about Obama, it's not that he's not angry. It's not that he's not ambitious. It's that he has trained himself not to fight. Now, what I ask myself is, can you change your character? I mean, he's 50 years old now. If the way you succeeded in your early life was by refusing to confront your grandparents when they said things that horrified you, and that's all over the Dreams from My Father. Can you suddenly now, when he's standing out there and he's saying, "Join me in the fight"?
Yeah.
I keep asking myself, does he have the fight in him? I hope he does.
Well,
I voted for him.
I want to play you this clip. This is actually President Obama at a town hall event during the health care debate over his bill. And a 95-year-old man came up and gave Obama a present, which was a handcrafted walking stick. Take a listen.
This is a beautiful stick. And if members of Congress don't pass my health care bill, I'm ready. I'll whoop them. That's right. They better not mess with me.
I mean, is President Obama perhaps fighting against the tide here? Is he working against a Congress that makes it particularly difficult for him to take a stand on things?
Of course, this is a moment. I mean, this is a moment in time which he may himself be very, very ill-suited. It's a moment that calls for fighting. But listen to him when he's saying, "I'm going to take the stick," and then you just played the clip from Churchill when he's calling for them to fight. And Winston Churchill he sounds like the fighter that he was.
He's
like
scary.
Kennedy, he was a natural fighter. But I think the thing we have to also remember is that presidents also learn in office. I mean, let's remember that Jack Kennedy was certainly not a model president or a model fighter for the first several years of his presidency. It's only at the very end of his presidency, when he goes for the test ban treaty, that suddenly you see him doing what he wondered whether he could do. And I think that maybe that's the thing that should give us enormous hope for Obama. He's clearly listened to us. I mean, he's heard it. This is the first time we've heard him in months saying, "I'm going to fight."
Yeah.
And let's hope that when he comes back in September and he's promised a speech, let's hope that that speech outlines very specific goals and tells us what he's going to fight about, and that then he finds it in him. He is listening. He is listening.
The question is he learning? Yeah. Barbara Leeming is the author of Churchill Defiant, Fighting On, 1945 to 1955. Thanks, Barbara.
Thanks a million, Celeste.
How much fight do you think the president has in him?
My name is Robert Rozelle. I'm calling from Baltimore, and I give the president an F for letting Republicans get away with extortion.
Republicans are winning. F not for fighting. Call us with your grade for the president's leadership on the economic crisis at 877-8-MY-TAKE. We've been asking listeners for big ideas for fixing the economy. We've gotten a really sizable response from tax reform to adopting the metric system. Ideas big, small, good, and bad. You can see the solutions on our website, thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.